This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti, and I'm going solo this week without my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you on Fox Sports Las Vegas, ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio Los Angeles, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports Atlanta, ESPN South Jersey, and 107.5 Alive. Thank you for tuning in or listening to the podcast. A very special episode this week. Kurt Schilling is our guest, and I'm going to reveal my 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. We'll start the show with Kurt, who is in his final year of eligibility. Kurt belongs in the Hall of Fame. His numbers are certainly worthy. 216 career wins, 346 ERA, 3,116 strikeouts. He was one of the best postseason pitchers of all time, 11-2 with a 2.23 ERA in 19 postseason starts. Kurt helped Arizona win a World Series. He helped Boston win two, helped the Philadelphia Phillies get to one. I voted for him, but he fell 16 votes short last year, and he is now in his 10th year on the ballot. He is asked to be left off the ballot, so we discuss that and much more, including how he came to be a Christian. Kurt has strong political views. He's been outspoken about it. I am not a political person. I've said that before on this show, because I only put my faith, trust, and hope in Jesus Christ instead of any politicians. Here is my conversation with Kurt Schilling.
Kurt, before we get into Baseball Hall of Fame, I want to ask you a little bit about your faith. I've read in the past that you came to become a Christian while your wife, Shonda, was going through cancer. Is that accurate?
No.
No? Okay. How did that come about?
I mean, I've always had a belief in God. I wasn't raised in a very practicing religious family, but God has always kind of been, you know, in my life. 1997, I was having a monster season for the first time in my big league career. And we just had our second child, and I was driving home one night from the ballpark after a really good game. And I had been reading a bunch of books on Revelations and different stuff. I'm an avid reader. I asked the question, almost everybody asks at some point, which is, what's this all about? And, you know, what's at the end of all this? And then, you know, it just seemed to be, given how much I had experienced in life, it just couldn't be all random. It couldn't just be all by happenstance and whatnot. And I just believed that Christ was who everybody said he was. I literally pulled over on the side of the road, said the Lord's Prayer, and that was it. And, you know, kind of waited for the lightning and thunder, and none of that happened. And I just drove home, and I've been one ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's a great story. And I always say this, that we're held to a different standard. As Christians, we're held to a different standard. And there's a lot of judgment. There's a lot of people always looking for you to fail. And I tell everyone, I'm the first to admit I'm a sinner. I make mistakes every single day. I'm not a Christian because I'm perfect. I'm a Christian because I need Jesus to save me.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think a lot of what we're living in now is that, and I think it's been pretty common throughout history, which is leftists and liberals and atheists, their hatred of our faith says far more about them than it does about us. And I think you get caught up as a Christian. I think a lot of Christians get caught up in, and it's one of the things I'm dealing with as we go to the Hall of Fame thing, which is really trying to find a place where life gets a lot simpler when the only opinion that matters is God's. I'm fighting and struggling to have that be the only one that matters. And it really has made this whole Hall of Fame thing a lot easier in that sense, because the media that I'm dealing with has created a person that doesn't exist, you know, a racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, transphobic, phobic, whatever, that just has never existed. And trying to fall back on the fact that, you know, God knows, and only God knows who and what I am. You know, your family and friends and you know, your teammates and all that other stuff. You know, they know who you are, but they don't know, you know, it's who you are is for a lot of people, and not, I don't think in my case, but I think a lot of people, it's buried down there. And I don't think I've ever hidden who I was, what I thought, how I felt. Not to say I'm always right, because I'm not, but I'm okay with that, because I don't do things maliciously. I don't do things to offend or upset people. I say and give my opinion when you ask, and I sleep comfortably at night, because I think for the most part, my entire life, I try to do the right thing. Haven't done it and have failed at times, but it's never been through lack of effort.
Kurt, let's get into the Hall of Fame, because I'm struggling, man. My ballot is due this week. I'm a Hall of Fame voter. You and I have had this conversation probably, I think it was 5 years ago. I think it's a privilege to be a voter. It's something that I take very seriously. I also think, and I've been outspoken about this, I think the process is flawed. I think it has many flaws. And first off, there's a 10 max rule that I think is ridiculous. If there's 12, 13, 14 guys who are worthy, you should be able to vote for 10, 12, 13, however many. Also, right. The ballot is loaded right now because obvious Hall of Famers still haven't been voted in. I shouldn't even have to consider Bonds and Clemens, I feel, because I think they should be in. I shouldn't have to look at you in a 10th year of your ballot, because you should have been voted in. And I don't believe in first ballot versus second ballot. If you're a Hall of Famer in year one, then you should be a Hall of Famer in year one. You shouldn't have to wait out 9 more years. So last year, you received 71.1%, 16 votes short, after which you asked to be left off the ballot. That request was denied. So where do you stand on it right now, Kurt?
I don't care. I can't. I stop. This is, up until this year, this has been one of the most miserable periods of time every year in our lives for the last 8 or 9 years. Like, because, again, I have to read about or hear about a person that doesn't actually exist. I mean, I find it, I don't even know what the word is anymore, but when you can beat your wife, beat your girlfriend, you can be, I mean, Bill Conlon was a child molester. When those types of character questions aren't relevant to the voting, but my support of a president that they all hate is, you know, and again, for 10 years, you've listened to these people who really don't know me. I mean, you know me as a player. You don't know me as a person. People in your line of work have written about my character and commented about my character. And all of the things they've said about me, I find it, again, I'm not sure what the word is, but the fact of the matter is, in 22 years, I've never had a teammate, a fan, a clubhouse guy, a manager, a coach, anyone ever say any of the things that writers have written about me, ever. Lord knows there's been opportunity. I'm not saying I was the greatest teammate, but I wasn't a bad teammate. I wasn't any of the things the media claims I am. They're going to, they'll point to two things, I think, now, which is the T-shirt that I posted a picture of, which I apologize for. It was in bad taste, and it was not a smart thing to do. But I didn't have this lynching past that suddenly resurfaced. It was during a conversation about the death of the media, and I admitted I had talked about the fact that the media had committed suicide over the last 5 or 6 years because of what they had done during the presidential election and afterwards. And then the January 6th event, which, you know, obviously I was in support of conservative protests against what I believe was a failed election and all the things that come with that. And I was in no way, shape or form condoning or. And we come to find out that it was what we thought it was. The FBI told us that the people that did this, they weren't Trump supporting, Trump voting fans. These were idiots, extremists, and they were people on the far left who wanted to make it appear that, because here's the thing. If 20,000 legally armed conservative protesters showed up at the Capitol, it would have turned out a whole lot different than it did. Number one, we're not a group of people that goes into Nancy Pelosi's office and takes selfies. I mean, this was a serious thing. These people, and you know, all of the stuff the media lied about that event. I was supposedly in support of all that. And that was because of it. So again, 22 years eliminated character-wise. I mean, and I hate to talk about it like this, but I won every award you could win as a philanthropist. I mean, Jamie Moyer and I are the only two players to ever win all of those awards. same people that voted on against my character now voted for me then. They know what I am. These people, and the worst part is they're lying, and they know they're lying. But they'll have to make amends with that. I mean, a guy like Steve Buckley, I mean, again, I hate to talk about things that I've done, but when Steve Buckley came out as being gay, ask him who the first person in the professional world was that called him. And it was me. And I apologized profusely because I felt horrible that Steve felt like he had to live a life and couldn't be who he was. But he's written and said things about me, again, he knows aren't true. And I think a lot of it has to do, listen, this all goes back to 2004, the day after the World Series, when I said vote Bush. Everybody, the foundation of the liberal hatred from the media is based on that comment. And, you know, so every year this culminates into this multi-month process of people who don't know me writing. Well, I'll give you another great example. I think some guy in Kansas City, Joe, it might be Poznanski, or I'm not sure what his name is. He wrote an article about RJ and I, and the irony of the article was he made me out to be RJ and RJ out to be me. Like, he described us in exact, like, we talked about what a miserable bastard I was I was a bad teammate and I was a bad guy and a miserable guy between starts, and that RJ was this carefree, goofy, whatever. And that was the exact opposite description of who we were. But guys like that will use the anonymous teammate, which is a non-existent person or a non-existent entity, to float their opinions and push their agendas. And so at some point, I asked off the ballot last year because I didn't want to go through the process again. I don't want to go through it again. Unfortunately, I have to. This year, I've just avoided all. I mean, this is the only media thing I've done and will do. And I'm okay with that. I want this to get done. I want it to get over with. I want to be off the ballot and then go to the Veterans Committee and deal with it that way, because, you know, nothing personal, but who are you to judge me other than, but you have that right, that you fall under the criteria of people. So you get to, I think it's a horrible process because, again, my vote total has changed for 9 consecutive years and I have not gotten an out in those 9 years or given up a run.
No, you're right, Kurt. And the way I'm able to, or I look at my ballot and why I vote for guys who are labeled steroid guys. And first of all, I don't believe I should judge a man's character. And for me, it goes to my faith. I don't think anyone should judge someone else's character.
But on the flip side of that, part of your regulations and rules as a voter is to consider the player's character. And I think you should. But at the same time, I've watched them, again, create somebody that doesn't exist.
Part of the criteria is to consider someone's character, but how much do we really know? Like you mentioned,
exactly right. Like,
I don't know who's running around doing what behind closed doors. I don't know who's cheating on their spouse, beating, you know, all of this stuff.
The hard part from a player's perspective is I know guys in your line of work who do exactly the same things that they don't like the guys in our line of work, and they criticize their character for. It's just common sense and statistics. But yes, that's part of it. And things have changed now, right? I mean, because there's so much more access to us now as players or was than there's ever been. And like I said, the thing I just want it to be over. And I want to move on. I nothing in my life changes the day after I don't make it. Nothing. I still have my rings. I still have my memories. I still have the respect of the men I played for and played against. And I've heard from the gentleman that keeps track of the Hall of Fame ballots on Twitter has sent me probably no less than 20 comments from players who said, I'm not going to vote for Schilling just because I don't want to deal with the media crap. And so, you know, I'm sure that there are writers doing the very same thing, because now everybody, for the most part, everybody's ballot is public. And again, that's okay. That they'll deal with that when they. But again, the criteria behind being a voter is so loose, and you know, people that never saw me throw a pitch, and completely judge me by the things they've read, which are all completely wrong. Mm-hmm. it, you know, how can I get upset about that?
We'll take a quick break and come back with more Kurt Schilling. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti, going solo this week. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com, find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out. International Justice Mission, the Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for this show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. You can help us grow our ministry. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. So if you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel Store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com, under merch. We're going to continue our conversation with Kurt Schilling.
I believe you will eventually get in, Kurt, whether it's somehow this year or the Veterans Committee. And you've said you want to go in as a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. So my first year on the job was 2000. So I covered you when you got traded from the Phillies right to Arizona. But what led to that decision to want, you know, if you, when you well, go in, to go in as a Diamondback? Reasons.
Number one, the ownership in Boston is comprised of some very, very bad human beings who, on my way out of baseball, did things to myself and my family that I'll never forget. I forgave them, but I'll never forget it. And, you know, unfortunately, it severely tainted my experience. And my experience here, ending here, should have been one of immense joy, given what we were able to accomplish in the 4 or 5 years I spent here. And it didn't, because of what they did. And then, you know, if you take Boston out of the picture and you look at where I probably made the ascension in, if you believe I'm a Hall of Famer, it was in Arizona. I grew up there. I spent most of my life there. And I think for 2 years, Randy and I did what Randy and I were and did has never, ever been equal in the game. And, you know, so that was home. And that, you know, I mean, Philadelphia obviously, it was Philadelphia, Arizona. I mean, there was, if Boston's out. And so, you know, I don't think I was nearly as good in Philadelphia, consistent. I was hurt a lot. It just came down to that. I mean, it had nothing to do with Mr. Giles and the Giles family. We were always very close. And, you know, the fans in Philadelphia were so good to me and so good to my family. I'll be forever indebted to them. But Arizona just felt like the right thing. And I mean, there's some, what's the word I'm looking for? There's some, I mean, there's a lot of Phillies in the Hall of Fame. You look at the Philly wall there, and right, rightly so. Yeah. And Arizona, you know, I was part of the first world championship team in any sport in the state I grew up in. So, you know, that was kind of how that came about.
You said last year too, I don't think I'm a Hall of Famer, as I've often stated, but if former players think I am, then I'll accept that with honor. You look at your numbers. I mean, you're a baseball historian. Your numbers are Hall of Fame numbers. You don't view it that way.
So I'll do the thing with you that I do with everybody that brings that up. And you know, I play this little game. My Hall of Fame is you're either in or out. There is no 10-year vote. Blah blah blah. And so you know, I would ask you, Willie Mays, Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Mariano Rivera?
Yeah.
Babe Ruth?
Yes.
Pedro Martinez?
Yes.
Roy Halladay. There you go. That's it. The second you have to pause, no.
He was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right. For a reason. Right. And I think he would have been had he stayed healthy, but not. But for me, the second you have to pause and think, you're not. That's what the Hall of Fame should be. And in my Hall of Fame.
Okay.
You know, that's where my criteria falls. And I'm a guy who, if you say Curt Schilling, people go, you know, there's a thought.
Let me look at the numbers, that kind of thing.
There's the pregnant pause. And so, you know, it's why I think it's a shame. Like, I mean, to me, Scott Rowland, yes. Like, I don't even question that. And the fact that he's had to battle. I mean, if character matters, he should already be in. If character matters, Dale Murphy should be in. If character matters, Fred McGriff should be in. If character matters, Sean Casey should be. I mean, but it only matters in applicable cases to specific writers that don't like certain players. And that's where, like I said, that's why I've had this fight for years. And it's really recently I've only started to kind of be able to accept it, which is just worry about what God thinks. And you know, in a material world, it's hard to do. But it has made this a lot easier for me. Like I said, I want this over with. And this shouldn't be what this is about. This shouldn't be a miserable time. But it is, because the people that buy the ink by the pound, again, have created a Curt Schilling that's never existed. And a lot of the people in this world that never met me believe the things that these people are. I mean, let me just take you through a quick piece on my character. A young lady came out from the Boston Globe to see my World War II collection. Now, my father was in the 101st Airborne. I've been on two USO trips. I am one of the most patriotic human beings you'll ever meet. I was on the board of directors of the World War II Museum in New Orleans. I paid six figures to have Major Winter's statue built at Bericourt Manor in France. I paid the final sum of money to have that built. I have a huge World War II collection. I have personal items from General Montgomery and General Patton. And I have Russian and German and Hungarian and American and British. You name it, I've got it. And she wrote this article, and it ran with five pictures of German uniforms, and it was called My Nazi Collection. And so how do I battle that? I mean, you go back and look at the article. And I called her after this and said, you really want this to be how your career is going to go? You knew what you came here for. Why, you know? And so this just supported that label that was already out there. Now I collect Nazi memorabilia. Well, if you're too ignorant or stupid to understand World War II and what it encompassed, I can't help you. But that's out there, and that's an active. I mean, I had a writer, Glenn Macnow, lied. He lied. He said he came to my house, and that my World War II collection scared him.
I know Glenn.
I didn't have my World War II collection when Glenn Macnow came to my house. So again, I'm on this side watching people do that. And I can't, what am I going to, I can't, so for the most part, I defended myself far more than I probably should in social media, because I don't like people. I hate bullies and I hate liars. And this is what these people are trying to do. Again, this group of people, I'm not including you in this, but this group of people that despises me so is all in support of Bill Conlon, a pedophile who molested members of his own family. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Kurt, full disclosure, I was the chapter president in Philly at the time when I nominated Bill and got him into the writer's wing of the Hall of Fame. I didn't know anything about those allegations.
No. But in hindsight, given the cancel culture we live in, shouldn't the first thing that have been done when it was revealed, shouldn't his plaque have been removed? I mean, shouldn't there have been a great protest from you guys saying, and I guess, you know, one of the things, and I was thinking about this, one of the things that I think where I'm at right now is I've written a letter, and I've held on to it. I'm going to hold on to it until the voting is over and I'm done, to a couple people in the media that I'm very close with, who I've always, guys like Jason Stark. But, you know, there aren't a lot of Jason Starks who takes his Hall of Fame ballot seriously. Guys like Tim Perkins, who I became friends with in 1988. And the letter, in many ways, is asking, why didn't you ever stick up for me? You knew me, but I know the answer, right? These people don't want to deal with the professional nightmare that comes with defending me. But what does that say about them? They know me. These guys know me. They know that none of this stuff. I mean, Jason Stark, I have love and respect Jason as much as anybody I met professionally, because Jason was a true baseball fan. He loved what he did. Jason knew me probably as well, as not better than anyone. Tim Kirk's in the same way. I understand why they didn't. They'll be the ones that say, well, he was stupid for doing that. But they won't add to the fact that that's not who he is. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to deal with the cancel culture. And, you know, my dad always told me that, and I've read and seen so many memes in the last 5 or 10 years of, you know, one person walking against a traffic of thousands and said, just because you're alone doesn't mean you're wrong. And you know, if everybody's saying it, it's not true, it doesn't make it true. But when you look at if you Google me, you look at the things that are said about me, it's like, it's not just that they're wrong. It's they're in direct opposition to exact to who I am. Like it's almost like a Jekyll Hyde thing. If I had a Jekyll Hyde, the Dr. Jekyll would be this monstrosity the media created that has never existed. And I'll go back to, other than I had one bad teammate in 22 years, and that was in Philadelphia, and he was the worst teammate I ever had. I've never had a teammate utter even a remotely close accusation of any of the things anyone's ever said, or a clubhouse guy that said I mistreated them, or a fan who said I mistreated them, or any. And those stories will never come out. My wife won't write an expose on me hitting her or cheating on her. I won't be found to have a DUI or a DWI. There is no drug past in my. I've never done any of the things that a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame actually did, that are absolute. And here's the thing, and it kills me to say this. Roger Clemens was an enormous part of my life and my career. Influential, unbelievably influential. I wouldn't vote for him, and I wouldn't vote for anybody that I know cheated. But the simple fact is, I'm being lumped in with Bonds and Clemens as this third guy on the ballot. Those guys destroyed other people's lives to protect their integrity and their reputation, which were gone already. They destroyed people's lives. And now we're balancing, should we or shouldn't we vote for them? And my character's in question. Again, this all kind of snowballs into why I stopped caring. Not stop caring, but stop being concerned about it years ago. And I'm just going to be ecstatic when it's over. I've told the Hall of Fame that I won't participate in any capacity, no matter what the outcome is this year. They know that. And they chose not to take me off the ballot. So that'll be on them.
Kurt, I'll end with this. There's a Bible verse. I think it's in Galatians. You can't please man and please God at the same time.
Nope. No. And again, you know, those are the things that have helped. You're right. And that's, but so much of what we talk about, especially like with our kids and from the Bible, it's so much harder to read and say than it is to practice. And which is what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard to be a Christian, right? I mean,
the challenge.
To be a Christian means giving up a lot of the earthly pleasures that people grow up and live with. And so they don't become Christians because they don't believe in God. They don't become Christians because they don't want the inconvenience. And so, you know, I have never back down from the things I've said and done, but I've also admitted I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. None. I don't like it. I hate, but I'm, again, the person the Hall of Fame voters are not voting for has never existed in any capacity. But there's a narrative out there that is pretty much just destroys my character, which is the one thing that I always wanted to preserve, maintain, and protect.
Well, that to me is the most unfortunate part of this. And, you know, I'll probably get crucified for doing this interview and putting you on my Faith on the Field show.
But again, you know, as a Christian, there's a lot of things that you do and we do that I would be worried if it didn't upset people. Because if I thought I was part of that group, I would know that I'm not living. Knowing the hate that you get from the people you get tells you you're trying to live your life morally, ethically, right, with honor and dignity and respect. Doesn't mean you're always doing it, but that's the intent, and that's all we can do.
Yeah. Hey, if everybody loved me, I'm doing something wrong. That's right. I tell my wife all the time.
Well, you're not. If everybody loved you, you're not being true to yourself.
Sure. That's right. True. Well, man, I do. I appreciate this. I appreciate your time. And
my pleasure.
I hope you get in, Kurt. You know,
I appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you, my friend. Take care. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless, Kurt.
Thank you.
That was Kurt Schilling, a fascinating conversation. Now it's time to reveal my 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. This ballot for me is very difficult because I believe there are more than 10 players who deserve to be in the Hall, but we are limited to 10, and that wouldn't be an issue if obvious Hall of Famers were already in the Hall of Fame. That's why I believe this process is flawed. I consider it an absolute privilege to be a Hall of Fame voter. I take it seriously, but if I lose my right to vote to make the process a better one, I'm fine with that. I feel that the only fair way to vote is the numbers. So my reasoning for voting players who are labeled steroid guys is this. One, I don't think any of us can accurately determine who used what and when. Also, I know this about supplements from personal experience because I went from a scrawny 165-pound guy to at one point I was a jacked up 225 pounds with a body fat percentage in the single digits, and I did it without ever using anything illegal. I did it through hard work. I did it through the gym, over-the-counter supplements, eating properly. Some of those over-the-counter supplements, however, were banned by Major League Baseball, and I don't think that's fair that I can walk into a store and take whatever I want, but players can't. And lastly, there's this to consider. Players in the 60s and 70s have admitted to using amphetamines or greenies. And I'll argue that those drugs may have enhanced their performance even more because it helps you with alertness and hand-eye coordination, which is more beneficial for a hitter than big muscles. You still have to be able to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball or a 92-mile-an-hour slider. So I vote strictly off the numbers. And for that reason, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Gary Sheffield, Alex Rodriguez, David Ortiz easily have Hall of Fame numbers. They get my vote. Kurt Schilling gets my vote. I explained that already. Billy Wagner was one of the most dominant relievers in baseball history, maybe the most dominant lefty, sixth on the all-time saves list with 422, almost 1,200 career strikeouts, a 2.31 ERA, a whip under one. Voted for him before. I'll vote for him again. Scott Rolen also voted for him last year. 7-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glove winner. He gets my vote. And then there's Jimmy Rollins. He had 2,455 career hits, 231 homers, 470 stolen bases. He was an MVP. He earned 4 Gold Glove awards. He won a World Series. He's the only shortstop in history in a 400 steal, 200 homer club. He's got more extra base hits, 857, as a shortstop than anyone except Hall of Famers Cal Ripken and Derek Jeter. He's the first player ever with a 30-30-30-20 season. J-Roll gets my vote. I had to leave off 3 players I voted for last year because of the 10 max rule. Manny Ramirez, who belongs in a Hall. Jeff Kent and Andy Pettit. I plan to vote for them again. Also, there are players I'd like to give more consideration to, including Todd Helton, Andrew Jones, Omar Vizquel, Ryan Howard. He put up Hall of Fame numbers that were absolutely absurd for 6 seasons, but unfortunately, he got hurt. And then there's Bobby Abreu. He deserves a hard look. There are other guys who deserve a hard look. But my final ballot, Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Sheffield, Rodriguez, Schilling, Wagner, Ortiz, Rolen, and Rollins. That's it for this week. Thank you to Kurt Schilling. Thank you to Doug, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. Wishing you all a blessed and happy new year. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. 1 in 4 are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.